Shalom, blessed saints of God. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and welcome to the news portion of our program. Well, last week our top story was Egypt's slaughtering of hundreds of Coptic Christians, probably more than in Syria's latest chemical attack. But are we going into Egypt to help the Coptic Christians? No, they're not terrorists after all. Instead, we are accusing, without real solid proof, the regime of Syria that Assad gassed his own people, almost including its own military encampment that actually was very close to it. Really? He would do that to his own military? That's like gassing yourself. Well, it doesn't stand right with me, especially when Assad was making good progress in winning their civil war. We know from many reports like CNN and Reuters that a few months ago, the Sunni rebels had acquired their own chemical weapons when found in their own hideout tunnels in Jobar near Damascus. And since then, have not only threatened to use them, actually did in early June. But since it was reported by a Russian newspaper, was dismissed as untrue. So America has to be the leading force to help the terrorists, who could very well at some future point turn around and attack America and Israel, as they have stated they would in the past? The Egyptian Christians wouldn't do that, and have been crying out to America to do something to help them. Again, there is no definite proof of who actually used the chemical weapons, or who was shooting at the UN inspectors yesterday. In fact, people, this is textbook deception, right out of a Nazi playbook, and done frequently in the past, where their own people are killed, some staged, and then they blame the other side, as we have seen done often in Israel by the Palestinians. And I might add that even some of Wednesday's victims, who are fortunate to still be alive, admit they believe it was the rebels and not Assad who is responsible. Now, our administration and others for decades have been manipulated by the rich men of the earth. No one likes to talk about it, but we all know it's true, particularly the powers behind the Federal Reserve. You know what I'm talking about. These elites want World War III, and actually, they've wanted all the other wars, too, for a number of reasons, and I think you should do your own homework on that. But in order to call all the shots in a global society, uncooperative dictators must go. So like Mubarak and Gaddafi and others, Assad is just another stepping stone. Anyhow, I am not in favor of shooting missiles or sending any more of our precious troops into harm's way, costing us billions of more dollars when it doesn't benefit us, and will definitely kill more innocent people. We should learn from recent history. Why are we even thinking about taking on not only Syria, but Russia and Iran? And now China says they'll help? It's insanity. And I just can't believe that Obama will do such a full-scale attack, but probably a few missiles as a warning not to do it again. But here's the deal. God knows all about it and what's going to happen. And the only reason I make mention of any of this every week is to alert the bride that her groom is coming and warn others that time is running out. So spread the gospel now. Tell the lost to repent. And, as Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So, will he or won't he? Is there going to be a war? Or is this just a rumor of one? Does Obama need a wag the dog scenario due to the many impeachable offenses he's having to avoid these days? Add this to all the immorality, like the Miley Cyrus satanic performance Sunday night, or the fact that Disney is now introducing a lesbian couple with kids on the sitcom Good Luck Charlie, that most preteens do watch. And, of course, they want to show our children there's nothing wrong with it. And did you hear about the photographers in New Mexico that refused to video a lesbian commitment ceremony? And they were sued? And they lost? Since it is against the law to discriminate against gays, this ruling prioritizes gay rights over religious liberty. our freedoms are being stolen. Of course, I could cite hundreds of more examples to prove that we are in a downward fall, as even bestiality is now hinted at. The bottom of the barrel is here. Meanwhile, peace meetings with Israel and the Palestinians were canceled Monday due to clashes in the West Bank, resulting in 3 Palestinians being killed. And oh my gosh, I think that's enough yuck for tonight. But remember, mark your calendars for our Rosh Hashanah Feast of Trumpets celebration, Thursday, the 5th of September at Lakeshore Assembly of God, 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard in Mentor, and the 6th of September in Chesterland at 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306. Both start at 7 p.m. And remember, it really is you that keeps this program on the air, and I thank you immensely for that. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Lashana Tova Tikatevu, meaning may you be inscribed for a good year. This is the traditional greeting we do during this season of repentance, known as Teshuvah. And if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, then you are in the Book of Life, and you will live forever with Yeshua as your husband. You are listening to the live Shofar Ministries Hour, 1220 AM Christian Radio, or on the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with our teacher and minister of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. As always, let's begin with a prayer. Abba, please bless those who are listening right now. Convict the hearts of their loved ones for salvation, your most important gift to us. We continue to hold up to you, our Father, our King, the many grandparents who are now having to take care of their grandbabies. We also lift up the prayer requests that come in over the week. And we pray for our listeners' finances, especially those who have a heart for giving. Grant them wisdom and direction in these last days. We thank you for your provision to finance these programs. We ask that you rebuke any demon activity lurking around your elect. And of course, Abba, we pray that we may know your purpose for us as individuals, and may we have the strength your word provides to achieve it, as we anxiously await that awesome sound of your trumpet. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. And we're glad you tuned in. As always, the phone lines are open should you have a comment or a question on our spiritual heritage or the end time scenario.
And that number to call tonight is 888-677-WORD. And don't worry if you didn't get that. We will repeat that later. We are still in the annual season of Teshuvah, which is the Hebrew word meaning to repent and return. Return to who? Return to your God, to a deeper walk with the Lord.
That's right, John. And a great way to get closer to your Jewish Messiah is to understand the Lord's festivals, for the obvious reason that these are his appointments that he made with all of his elect.
And this is really Hebraic Roots 101.
Right, and as we've been saying, if you really wanted to be a good friend to someone, wouldn't you want to know as much as you can about that person?
I would, absolutely.
And in John 15, Jesus calls his disciples his friends, even willing to give his life for his friends. And Abraham was called a friend of God, and so was Moses, Exodus 33:11.
And in the Song of Solomon, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. Isn't that beautiful?
That's right. And as we noted last week, and it definitely has to be repeated, we sing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and yet the attributes of true friendship don't even apply to most churchgoers. Even though we are spiritual Jews, most know very little about our heritage.
That is so true. Unfortunately, it's changing, though.
Yeah. So, but if you're listening tonight and you don't know anything about the feasts, please stop ignoring them. They are very detailed in Scripture, and not just in Leviticus, but heavily in the Gospels, especially John's Gospel. And you know what? even when there are double blood moons in a year. They both occur on feast days? Now, doesn't that make you stop and ponder just a little about what God might be trying to say? After all, right in the beginning of Scripture, Genesis 1:14, God does say that the sun and moon are for signs.
And you know, I remember we covered the blood moons back on July 9th, 2011. You can find that in the archives on our website. And we will be discussing the blood moons a lot more in the coming months, because the next one is due on the next Passover.
Yeah.
And as we say a lot on this program, Romans 15:4 says that the things written before are for us. For our learning.
Says it right there. Okay. Now, last week we saw how the traditional first century Jewish wedding typifies our upcoming wedding to Christ. Lots of information there, so if you didn't hear it, you should go to the archives, and even if you did, you might want to revisit and take some notes to share with others.
That's right, because sharing really pleases our Lord.
It does. And also, as we covered last week, and we're just going to do a quick review, one of the idioms for Rosh Hashanah is the wedding of the Messiah.
Yes, and God organized detailed wedding requirements with particular phrases that Yeshua would use when he was here to give us huge clues about how it will be with us.
That's right. And we talked about the three ways for weddings to be arranged, and we saw how each person of the Trinity played a major role in that for us, his bride. We saw how the groom was to ask first, and that it was totally the bride's choice, and if accepts by drinking the cup of wine, she was betrothed.
And he would pay the bride's price, and she was given gifts, and her family as well.
That's right. And then she would wait for him to build a hadar, or the wedding chamber, and come back to take her with him.
And, as in the case of Rebecca, it was a long and bumpy journey.
Yes, an uncomfortable ride on a camel, but she knew it would be worth it all. Also, the honeymoon had to last for a period of 7. The Hebrew word is a shavuah.
That's spoken in Genesis 29, and that's a great example.
Oh, that's right.
When Jacob had to fulfill Leah's week.
Right.
And that's the word used there.
And so then she waited to see him again, listening for the shout from afar. So in other words, after she would take a drink of the cup, she would actually wait for that shout from afar, just like we're going to hear that shout of the trumpet. So we see typology there as well. But anyway, then she would learn as much as she could about him by studying her contract or her ketubah,
which today would be our Bible.
Absolutely. Now, the betrothal is legally binding.
A good example of that from the New Testament would be Mary and Joseph, right?
That's right. And in order to annul it, to annul a betrothal, which was possible, but they would have to get a legal writ of divorce, and it was called a get. The only difference, of course, and it was legal, but the only difference is they could not live together. And, of course, that's a picture of us, of how hard, next to impossible, to break the betrothal, although it could be done, like God divorced Israel in Jeremiah 3:8. Can you maybe just read that real quick?
Yeah. It says, then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister, Judah, did not fear, but went and played the harlot also.
Right, and they had the example and still blew it, basically. But it's interesting that today, even still today, in God's eyes, the only way that you could get a divorce from a Christian marriage is if the other commits adultery.
That's right.
So, interesting.
That is interesting. I also want to point out, too, that we shouldn't, from that verse in Jeremiah, say that Israel, God has divorced Israel.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. God's they're still God's people. That's just an example of the prophet using
because they
wedding terminology.
Adultery, right?
Wedding terminology, yeah.
But another great example as an understanding, the length of the honeymoon had to be 7, you know?
Oh, yeah.
is just gives us a huge reason of why we really need to know some basic tenets of our foundational faith. So we see these pictures. And it's truly amazing to see these wedding details, for he really does want us to know. And he wants us to recognize how it'll be with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll tell you, John, I can really say that without this basic knowledge of Hebraic roots, you really can't fully understand the end time scenario.
That's very, very true. But, you know, there always will be, though, a part missing. You know, there will be something missing.
That's right. And I can always tell someone that teaches the end times who does not know Hebraic roots. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
And something is just not quite clicking.
Yes, that's true. And it's easy to point out now. I can recognize it myself now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know what? There are a couple more things that I really didn't get a chance to say last week because we ran out of time.
Okay.
Do you know what they are?
I think it was the two witnesses that are required at a wedding.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
Okay, there's the Jewish wedding picture. Two witnesses required.
Yeah, so really basically, these two witnesses are really good friends. And I just have to ask you out there, are you a friend to Jesus?
Back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Wasn't that a beautiful bluegrass
version? I love
version?
The way they do that. And you know I'm just a country girl that's blessed.
I would say. That was a very good song. Very good rendition.
Are you going to try to give them the name?
I'm not going to go there at all. It's too hard.
I'll say it.
Okay.
Okay. That was by the Cluster Pluckers.
Okay. Did a great job with that.
It's just, you know, I don't know where they come up with these names. But
I don't
know. Oh, well.
Do you have a question for Sheila? Would you like her to speak at your church or group? You can just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office. That's 440 834 1-800-273-9006. Don't get that confused with our call-in number for tonight. And when you call, please leave a detailed message.
Please, I beg you. And by the way, your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the radio. And we are still tax deductible. So if you would like this Shofar Ministries to remain on the air, and if you are blessed and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
And if you would like advertising on WHK, we can do that as well.
We can.
Where can you send your gift? Just send it to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or there is a Partner With Us button on the left side of the home page of our website. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your address, either email or house address.
You can also pledge tonight by calling 888-677-WORD and give Derek your information.
And remember that number, 888-677-WORD. All newsletters and previous radio shows are archived on shofarministries.net. That's the website. And you can order recorded teachings there as well. And that phone number for you one more time for your comments or questions relating to tonight's topic is 888-677-WORD, 888-677-9673.
And another time I have to just remind our people that the two Rosh Hashanah celebration services on the actual dates of the Feast of Trumpets, which lasts 2 days. So Thursday, September 5th, will be in Menor at Lakeshore Assembly of God, 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard, and Friday, September 6th at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, or Route 306, same thing, in Chesterland.
Both begin with Messianic worship at 7 p.m., and both are very easy to access from either I-90 or I-271. So,
yes,
let's continue.
They are. Okay.
Okay, ready to get back into our...
About the witnesses.
Yeah, the witnesses, the wedding, the are they the friends of the bride or the
groom? Yeah,
okay.
And I'll say this again. Okay, first of all, I think you get that God uses typology, and he even tells us that in Hosea 12:10.
That's right, he does.
And we have just seen how God has even arranged all the details of the Jewish wedding to teach us how it will be with us and Jesus. He even arranged for the custom of requiring the presence of two witnesses. But as we said, they were to be the two best male friends of the groom, who would assist as well in securing the bride.
And what do you mean about securing?
Well, since it would take a while before he would return for her, it was their place to teach and encourage her that it would be worth the wait.
Oh, I see.
You know, like that song, "It'll Be Worth It After All."
Oh, I know. So I guess
we should play that someday.
Well, we can do that, I suppose. Well, I guess the idea was that she wouldn't lose hope or grow weary waiting, right?
Correct. And, you know, that's certainly a picture of us. We've been waiting for a long time, and the Bible says don't grow weary.
Mm-hmm.
And as the time, though, was nearing for the groom to return, these witnesses would give her some clues that it would be soon. For they would be able to see if the Hadar was finishing up, because they were the groom's best friends.
That's right. Like if the window was in or the roof was on.
Sure.
So, okay, I get that. So who are our witnesses, typologically speaking?
I knew you would ask.
Yes.
Well, let me give you some pretty big hints.
Okay.
First of all, they are the only two who totally fasted like Jesus 40 days and 40 nights.
Okay. Give me another one.
Okay.
Give me another clue.
All right. After our wedding, these two witnesses come back to earth.
Is one of them Enoch?
No. Enoch wasn't even Jewish, as Scripture requires. Besides, he is a picture of the rapture before the judgment of earth begins.
Okay. Just give me one more hint.
All right. They appeared with Jesus at his transfiguration.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. Okay, the light just went on. Moses and Elijah.
You're pretty good at this, John, even though we know you knew this already, but that's good.
Well, sometimes I forget.
Of course, but there really is one more hint that I left out. These two are representative of the Old Testament, or the Tanakh. Remember, Moses wrote the Torah and other things, like some of Psalms, and Elijah was known as the prophet of all the prophets.
That's right. You know, even John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah.
That's right. So actually, that is the biggest reason they are the groom's friends, because along with the Holy Spirit, of course, they help teach us about Jesus.
And Scripture does say, quote, in the volume of the book is written of me.
Yes, Hebrews 10:7, actually. Oh, and let us not forget that it was Moses who led the chosen people to their betrothal at Mount Sinai. Where was that?
That was in Mount Sinai.
Jeremiah 2:2. I thought you would remember that.
Oh,
but
okay.
Anyway, yeah, it's like, wow, our Bible is our best friends. Well, certainly to Jesus. So if we read the Bible, we get to know Jesus very well, and that is just the absolute truth. Nothing truer has ever been spoken.
That's, I totally agree, but let me see if I got this right. Now, I know it's very important that we get to know our Savior through his word, the Bible, but now Elijah represents all the prophets and is actually called the prophet of prophets, right, whose main function was to foretell of God's judgment on sin.
That's right.
Okay? Now, that's why all the prophets encouraged the people to repent and return to a closer walk with God.
Right.
Okay, so
I kind of do that.
Yes. That's kind of your ministry.
It surely is.
Well, so besides the New Testament, we should understand that the Old Testament, too, or the First Testament, as some call it, as represented by these two witnesses, is, help me out here.
Well, basically, the New Testament, we understand, and we should also understand the Old Testament as well, because these two witnesses do represent that.
Oh, okay. So that's like, we could just simply say Old Testament, New Testament. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
But you know how a lot of Christians just read the New Testament?
Yes.
Well, then they're missing out on his closest friends, in a way.
That's a good way to put it. And that's very important.
Oh, yeah, because this is his background. This is, you know, so much there.
And what if they do miss it?
And he's on every single page.
Oh, my gosh.
He really is.
Yes. You know, one of our mentors said that if you're reading a Bible passage and you just can't make sense of it at all, try inserting Jesus into the passage. That, a lot of times that works.
Right. Well, if you know Hebrew, he's still a lot
kind
of hidden in there.
Yes.
And we've talked about that in past shows, and maybe we should again, but that's pretty remarkable.
You
see his initials, basically, in there.
And his full name, actually, in equidistant lettering sequences.
Oh, yeah, we can really get into that.
Yeah. That's a whole other show, as we
But anyway, God is so merciful. He even sends them personally, again, the two witnesses, during the tribulation to those who did not listen and hear them through his word before the tribulation began.
Oh, that's right.
You know? And those who do accept Jesus during the tribulation are called tribulation saints, or the elect of that time, like they are called in Matthew 24:31. They're called the elect.
Okay, so they're not really the bride.
No.
But they're still part of the kingdom, right?
Absolutely. And that's why we should not grow weary if when we're witnessing to someone and they don't accept what we say now. The seeds planted, and when the rapture occurs, because you've already told them what's going to happen, I believe, unless they're really ding-dong, they will get on their knees immediately and repent. And I'm telling you, make sure you tell these people to do it right away. Don't wait, because I don't know how long America will be around. I really don't.
That sounds very serious.
It's very serious. Now, also, I want to tell you a little bit more about typology here, and I often get asked the question, why did God allow concubines in the Old Testament?
Oh, Of course, the obvious answer was to better populate the earth.
Well, and that is what they say.
Yes.
And maybe there were more women than men. I don't know. But I think there might be another reason.
I think so, too.
The typology here is the tribulation saints. Just saying, it's worth a thought. Of course, that's not the case right now, people, so you don't have concubines.
Oh, okay. I thought you said we could have...
No. But anyway, I just think that that was...
I often wondered about that myself, too, because it is a picture.
Because they're going to be cared and loved for, that's for sure.
Now, we take the Bible literally, and you do first.
Yes.
But we know that these pictures do exist, and this is a big one. And you know, why would the writers of the Tanakh take so much time to describe the concubines and to even say how many?
And never speak nasty about
and
them.
And never say anything bad about them.
You know, it's always very caring.
Yes.
So I think there's a picture there.
I think it's
if I'm right. Fine.
I think it's a huge
picture. Okay, thank you. I'm glad you agree with that. But every single story in the Old Testament is really a typology.
Right.
You know, you can see Jesus. You can a lot of times see the, you know, Antichrist or Satan and, you know, good versus evil in just about every single story.
Absolutely. Also, I do believe in passages like in Isaiah 14 where it's talking about the Prince of Tyre, where God himself or the Holy Spirit is writing in actually a typology.
Mm-hmm.
So if God himself is using the typology.
That's right. He was talking about the...
He's talking about Satan.
The power behind the king.
Behind the king,
yeah,
yes. So,
exactly.
So that's a very established tradition in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think we should talk a little bit more about the tribulation saints. And there's a scripture in Revelation 7, 13 describing them. Would you read that for me?
Yeah, I got it right here. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Okay. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, was talking about John the Revelator, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them.
Okay, and that's absolutely the tribulation saints. And the other reason we know that is because John couldn't recognize them. Now, John is a picture of the church. I think he would have known.
Ah.
Okay, these were a little different. And he asked, well, who are all these people?
Mm-hmm.
And so he described these are the ones that came out of the tribulation. So that's the tribulation saints, and they serve. Now, if you've noticed, it says, and they will serve and be happy to do it, I'm sure. And I think I'm trying to here is to differentiate between the tribulation saints and the bride.
Yeah, the different elects.
That's right.
There are different ones.
They're
right.
Still the elect, but they're different than us. We are the bride. And, well, why don't you just read chapter 5 of Revelation. I think it's verse 10. And look to see what our role is, and then we'll compare it to the tribulation saints.
Okay, I think, and I'll start here. And have made us, kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.
That's right.
So that's the important thing right there.
Exactly. That's a little different than...
serve him night and day in his temple?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is different, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Glad you brought that out.
So... But like I say, after coming out of the tribulation, they'll be very happy to be in the kingdom.
I believe they will be.
You look a little troubled, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
Not at all.
You have that look on your face like...
If it is, it's because of fish sandwiches, but that's another story. a whole other story. But listen...
John did not eat dinner tonight, you can tell. All right. Anyway. Yeah,
Sheila, I want to ask you this. Once you really gave a good synopsis of how... Moses was a type of Jesus, and boy, was he ever. And could you give that brief analysis again, because that was really good.
Yes. Okay, Moses and Jesus were both spared as babies from a cruel master. They both renounced a royal court. Both had major compassion on their people. Both made intercession. Both spoke with God face to face. Both were mediators of a covenant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And both are coming twice. Maybe that's why Moses is coming back to fulfill that typology.
That is cool. In Revelation, you see him come back.
Oh, yeah, Revelation 11, actually.
So they come twice.
Also interesting about these two witnesses, because people do tell me, oh, well, it's got to be Enoch. And as I said, he wasn't Jewish. But Elijah and Moses also do exactly
the same miracles.
The same things they did when they were here the first time, which is the same things that Revelation says is being done by them as well.
Right, right. In other words, Elijah is stopping rain.
Yeah, and the blood, in the water.
Yeah, Moses is turning water to blood. So that's something.
Fired down from heaven, that's what Elijah did. So they are pretty much doing the same thing. So
it doesn't actually tell you the name in Revelation, their names, but they tell you. But it gives you enough of information that you know.
Well, Malachi actually explains that it will be Elijah. There's no doubt about that,
right.
Which is why at Passover they set the cup out for Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, and had they have accepted Christ at the time,
he would have been Elijah, right?
He could have fulfilled that role.
Yeah.
But they didn't, so now actually Elijah has to come back. But the other one is definitely Moses, I believe, and again, it's because of the typology.
Yes, and Moses said to look for a prophet like himself
in
the last days.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and that was one of the requirements, too.
Right.
And both, I think Yeshua fit and Moses are so close together in their ministries.
Absolutely.
And what they did.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, them's are his friends.
So, they are. Yeah, Moses was a friend of the Lord, and Abraham was a friend of God.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel was the beloved.
A beloved. That was a special one.
John, the disciple John.
Is the beloved in the New Testament.
Beloved.
Daniel's in the Old Testament, a picture of the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And John was a picture of the bride in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Also, the only two that were ever called beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, and do you notice how much revelation that was given to John?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the beloved, I believe.
Exactly.
He was given quite a lot of information.
Well, and you know, the New Testament says the Holy Spirit's going to come and teach you all things.
Hmm. That's a nice thing.
All things. There's a lot there that he wants to share with us. If you are truly his friend, you will get more information.
That's true.
Just the way it is.
That's the way it's always been, right?
You know, you want to be a friend, he will give you that, you know, friendship information.
Right.
If you don't want to be his friend, or you just want to be an occasional acquaintance.
Yeah, drop in for coffee once in a while.
You're not going to get it.
Yeah.
You'll get some.
You get some. Yeah.
No, it's all just all common sense here.
Yeah, it is. And there's no judgment there. It's as much of the Lord as you want.
That's right. It's all up to you.
Everything
is your choice.
That's right. That's your choice. As much of him as you want, you can have.
Mm-hmm.
You can have right now. Even though you might think that, you know, some listener out there, that you might think that you can't because you've done this, you did this, and, you know, God would never have you, you know. Oh, just repent. This is the season of repentance. I was going to bring my shofar tonight and blow it.
I'm glad you didn't.
But anyway, do it, you know.
Need a little more practice.
But we're going to hear that trumpet sound anyway, right?
That's right. And you know what? I think there's some typology with the trumpet.
I think so.
We know so. And as we anxiously await to hear it, I am reminded of why this ministry is called Shofar Ministries. You want to tell the people why, John?
Well, it's obviously because you love and teach all about the rapture at the sound of the trumpet of God.
That's right. That is it.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't name it. Someone else named it for you.
Someone else did. I know. Yeah. When I first started out in the ministry, I just was asking the ladies that I was teaching a Bible study, I said, I need a name. Well, it didn't take but a second for someone to say, what do you mean? It's shofar, of course. That's what I even had the shofar with me. And they go, there should be no question about that. And
wow,
thinking,
talk about pointing out the obvious there. Well,
and I just can't believe that I just didn't think of it myself. I really didn't.
Hmm.
But as soon as she said it, I knew it was right.
Yeah, and then, of course, now we're discovering there's a lot of typology in the actual shofar itself.
That's right. You want to hear some of it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay, so the ram's horn, called the shofar in Hebrew, is actually pretty ugly when first removed from the only life it's ever known, a ram. And like us, when we are born from our mother's womb, we are also taken from the only life source we've ever known. And we're not the prettiest spectacle, at least not till we are washed up, and even then not the greatest. But let's look at the spiritual side as well, in God's eyes. First, we are not much to look at either, until God receives us into his hands. And we are removed from the old, ugly life, and the Holy Spirit begins to work on us. Now, we, like the horn of an old goat, is very rough and needs extensive polishing work to smooth it out. But finally, the craftsman begins to see himself in the shiny reflection. And that's exactly true. I have a shofar, and it was rubbed out really well, and I can see my reflection. Okay?
Yeah.
And if it gets dull, I just get the old cheesecloth out. And.
Well, I know that there's a lot of cheesecloth been used on me.
Yeah. Well, it takes a lot of rubbing for most of us to begin reflecting the image of God in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But the master keeps working with us until he sees himself in his handiwork. So he wants us to reflect him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's why we're like a shofar.
Well, now that's a good picture. Is there more, though, to that?
Yes. Now, once the craftsman who's working on the shofar sees the outside is looking good, with loving care, he reaches deep inside the horn and begins to pull out the flesh a little at a time.
Well, that's yucky, but it's a good picture. I think it makes a great type.
I think so. Just like the shofar cannot be used until all the flesh is gone.
Oh, yes. And that's, you don't want any of it left in there either.
Right. Because just like us, our flesh must get out of the way before God can use us.
Wow.
So God begins to tear away at our flesh, making us very uncomfortable at times. But yes, our flesh, like his sons, must be laid on the altar. We have to crucify our flesh as well.
Mm.
Pick up our cross and carry it.
Yes, we do.
Now, with the flesh not clogging up the horn, now the breath will flow easily, just like his breath will flow easily through us.
Like his spirit flowing through us. That's a very nice picture. I love that.
Well, and also when the craftsman sees that his work is good, he does blow his breath through it, and out will come a sound that will either call an assembly of God's people or warn them of impending danger. I think that's why, another reason why I called it the Shofar Ministries, because I'm always warning people that judgment is coming.
And you have been. We have been over this past year especially. I noticed that the teaching has gone from Hebrew Roots 101, but also included a lot more warning with the news.
For obvious reasons.
Well, I know, and we've had some comments about the news that we hear from people. Some people want to hear it, but a lot of people go, it's just too awful to hear.
I know, they don't want to hear it.
They don't want to hear it, but the reason is we're warning.
That's right. We're saying
these signs are coming to pass. This is happening in the news because it said it would in the Bible, and we are getting closer and closer to the return of our Lord and Savior for his bride.
That's right. To remove
us from the face of the earth. Now, a lot of us need to be warned. Some of us just don't get it, and a lot of us need to be prodded along. Come on. I mean, you know, sometimes we get complacent, and we'll just say, well, I'm not even going to watch the news for a week, or I'm not even.
Yes.
And we get.
And you know what? I would love to say that sometimes.
Well, that's your job.
Because it's not pleasant to be able to have to do this so much, just to put the pieces together.
Right.
So that people will realize the days we're living in.
We're very glad that you do that.
Thanks.
Because it can bring you down when you.
Yes.
But
if you look at it in the other direction,
that
it means Jesus is coming soon. Sometimes I even just jump up and down.
Well, I've got to tell you, I'll be honest with you. When we first started doing this, going way into this, I was getting a little, it was bringing me down a little bit. But now it's starting to bring me closer to through the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great, it is.
Because you're not looking at it in a carnal aspect. You're
right.
Looking at it in the spiritual aspect, and you know these things have to happen.
Well, yeah, and I remember hearing these very odd ideas in your first class that I went to about the feasts of the Lord. I remember hearing that and mm-hmm. thinking, how odd. This is very odd, but something kept me
right.
going because I want to. There's something I need to learn from this, and I didn't know what it was. And you were doing it, and it was you were talking about these odd feasts.
Oh, it was
and
brand new to everybody, and I'm telling you, people looked at me like deer in headlights.
And I was one.
It was almost 20 years ago.
And this period of Teshuvah, especially in Rosh Hashanah, every year now, it's become a clearer picture. It's clearer than it was last year and the year before and the year before that.
That's right.
And as it becomes clearer, it also becomes imminent. I have the knowledge that the Lord's return is imminent.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a big part of Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, and knowing these feasts is huge.
And
it's just huge.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even be at that place if I hadn't learned about the feasts in the first place.
That's right. Amen. So
that's my testimony.
Again, if that's you out there and you don't know about the feasts, change, because it will make you happy.
Yes.
It will make you feel like you know the Lord more.
Yeah.
You know, and so many people say, I mean, I've seen T-shirts, I want to know the Lord more at Christian assemblies.
No.
Stuff. Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, that's easy. Just pick up the word, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you need to come out with a T-shirt to answer that T-shirt.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So anyway, to sum it up, like the cleaned up shofar, God can speak through us once the flesh is pulled away, and that's the whole idea of this,
okay.
The typology.
Cool type.
So, again, are you like one of those horns whose flesh is stuck way in there and is just not coming out? Well, I do have a remedy. Just pour a little oil in there.
Mm. Holy Spirit power, huh?
That's right. He is the Holy Spirit. That'll help soften up the flesh. And I understand water helps, too.
How about water of the word? That really pulls some flesh out, doesn't it?
Yes, of course it does. It does. So, amen to all that. Great, huh?
Great. Now, that was a good show. That's what I call a good program.
And a lot of good teaching.
And a lot
I
of
hope
good
people
teaching.
Were blessed as we close out the program.
Okay. I've got to ask you, listener, is Jesus really Lord of your life? Of your whole life. You know, we compartmentalize a lot. So, is he Lord over your whole life?
That's right. Or is there still a foot in the world?
Yeah, yeah. See, sometimes we can have just a head knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really, what is it, 15 inches below? It's the heart.
It's 18. 18? No, I don't know.
Okay. Well, we need it in our heart.
Yeah. Well, Matthew 7 talks about that.
Yes.
People think they're Christians, but they're really not.
The prophet said, I'll write my Torah on your heart.
Yeah.
We need Yeshua in our hearts.
That's right.
And so how can we do that? And if you do have some sin, listen, just take a little break right now. Get on your knees. Try.
Right now. Stop.
Right now. Try.
Right
just
now,
stop
get
what
on your
you're
knees.
Doing. Doesn't matter. If people are looking at you, turn off the lights if it's night.
Really?
But just get on your knees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then just tell the Lord what it is that you're doing that you know is wrong. And that's agreeing with him that it is wrong. Repent. Turn to him. Tell him about those individual sins that are keeping you in bondage, and you want to be free from that bondage. You know what these sins are, and they are weighing you down. They're keeping you from doing the things you want to do for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And now's the time to stop that.
Let the Lord help you do it, too. And if you read the Word, that will help you.
Next, commit your life to Yeshua, or recommit your life. He's your Savior. Remember, it's always your choice of where you spend eternity. The soul never dies, and God sends no one to hell. He gives us that choice to determine where our soul will spend eternity. So, there's only two places for it to go. And one's with the bad guy, and the other's with a loving God who calls us His children.
That's right.
And we can call Him His Father. Actually, we can call Him Daddy. So if
that's
you're
right.
there and you made that prayer on your knees right now, we just pray that the Holy Spirit is just flooding you with reassurance that your sin's forgiven and that you can have a relationship now with the Lord like
yeah.
you've never had before.
And again, sometimes people turn on this program quite by accident. And if it's your first time and you've never given your heart to the Lord, I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, you're being a fool if you don't do it quickly.
Yeah.
We're running out of time.
We really
Judgment
are.
Is coming. Then, just do what Jesus told us to do. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his own. For judgment is very near. It really is. I believe it. I really believe it, especially when you look at just even the United States and how much it's come down, immorality, and just, it's just awful.
I really believe that. I really believe that. And I think people that don't even know the Lord are seeing this. And they're...
I think so, too. They're asking questions. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Praise God, yeah.
Can you give the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22?
I'll not only do that, I'll do that in the original language.
That's good.
Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom.
Oh, that's so pretty. And you know, when we get in the New Kingdom, we're going to all be speaking Hebrew, so I'm glad that we're starting now.
That'll be a lot of ch for
that's
us.
That's right. But in English it says, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Remember, our two Rosh Hashanah celebration services on the actual dates of Thursday, September 5th, in Menor at Lakeshore Assembly of God, and Friday, September 6th, at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, both at 7 p.m. Join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m.
And until then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
And that doesn't say maybe.
No, it doesn't. That's Psalm 122:6.
Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.